Good morning and welcome to New Life's online church service. We're so thankful that you decided to join us. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Justin Dudney, and I have the amazing blessing of being able to work with our life groups and young adult communities. Gathering in Christ-centered communities is one of New Life's main values. And while we can't gather in large settings, we can still gather in smaller clusters. And we want to encourage all of you, reach out to each other, gather together in small groups, socially distanced, and worship together. Pray together and support one another. And then from that place, reach out to others who are not connected yet. Let's be the hands and feet of Christ and extend love to those who haven't received it yet. Amen? Awesome. And as always, if you have any questions about who we are at New Life or how to get connected, the best way to do that is through our New Life app or our New Life website. Make sure to check those out. We're gonna spend some time in worship now. So let's join our band as we lift high the name of Jesus. Bless you.
Fixed upon the mount of God's love. Thanks, worship team, for leading us in that. It sounded really good, especially the drums. My name is Luke Van Huysen, and I've been going to New Life Church for a long time. You may know me and my wife, Stephanie, and my two kids, Madison and Judah. We really miss being in and around the church and with all you guys, getting coffee in the back, and I miss playing the real drum kit. And we look forward to seeing you guys soon. At this time, we're going to take the offering. It's for the New Life Ministries, and if you don't know how to give, you can check out the link in the video description below. Otherwise, you can give using the app, and you can text, or you can do e-transfer. So let's pray for New Life Ministries and the offering this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet online once again, and I pray that this morning you would especially bless the offering and those that are giving towards New Life Ministries this morning. Pray that you would use all that is given in the ways that you only you can, and that you would bless each ministry individually with whatever is given this morning. Amen. Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and an activity for you. You can find this in the video description below or on our website. Parents, make sure to help your children with the challenge by helping them put together a video to submit for it. Now would be a great time to pause this and get your kids set up, maybe in the other room, maybe in the same room with headphones, maybe on the iPad, maybe on another phone, with a way that they can watch this week's video that Pastor Sam has put together for them. Okay, now over to you, Pastor Mike.
Good morning, friends. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the letter of Philippians. Throughout the history of the church, those who have followed Christ and his word have seen that their lives change. And this summer, through the It's Personal series, we're going to hear stories from new lifers whose life has been changed by Jesus. We're going to hear them speak about it. We'll hear their stories, their testimonies. They're also going to share a Bible verse that for them has become like a life verse that's been so important to them for their whole life. The week's coming will come in two different parts for each Sunday. The first part is the testimony of a congregation member centering around their life verse and how Jesus has changed their life. And then the second part will be one of the pastors will give a message on their chosen life verse. This Sunday, we're fortunate to have our very own Pastor Sam Visser with us, our new Faith Formation pastor who works in children's ministry. And in this COVID time, she has been deeply involved in all our video and audio work. We're going to hear her life verse and how it's impacted her. So let's hear from Sam and then come back and reflect on her life verse, which is Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Let me pray for Sam and for us to receive our word, the word of God, and then we'll go and listen to Sam. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word that is active and alive and changes us. It's your very word. We pray today that you would bless Sam as she shares her testimony with us, that we would receive it, and that we would be strengthened and encouraged. We also pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, and that you would work deeply inside of us for a changed life as well, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sam.
I'm Sam Visser, and I started attending New Life back in September, and then I started working for New Life as a children's pastor in February. And a verse that's really made a huge impact on my life is Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord gave me the gift of compassion, but before I learned to use it in His strength, it was really more of a burden than a blessing. I feel other people's burdens and pains and stresses as if they were my own, and often it can bring me into a bit of depression and leave me in a pretty dark place. But the day I learned to carry the burdens with the Lord instead of on my own has changed my life forever, and it all started with this verse. The summer before my fourth year of university, I went on a mission trip to a foster home in Guatemala called the James Project. This was my first time in a developing country and the first time I really experienced deep poverty. I was completely shattered and crushed by the pain and suffering we saw, and I left feeling totally hopeless and confused. Hopeless because I saw such a great need, but no way to meet it. And confused because I couldn't understand why God would ship me all the way there, break my heart, and then bring me home without really being able to help. Every day after that trip, I couldn't think or talk about it without bursting into tears. By mid-September, my homework and extracurricular load was so busy that it forced my thoughts of Guatemala to the outskirts of my mind, but I never fully processed everything we experienced. Halfway through the semester, I had a week or two where all my responsibilities paused simultaneously, and all the memories and emotions of Guatemala came flooding back to my mind as if we had just gotten home. That hopeless feeling was back, and for a solid week, I was pretty depressed and so full of sorrow for Guatemala. It just so happened that I was studying through sermons, the book of Philippians, and after I had lived in despair for a week, I came across Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The title of the sermon was Thankful Prayer, and I didn't really think much of it at that point. I was really only listening to try and distract myself from the sorrow and despair that I'd been trapped in. But God had other plans. As I was listening, I remember being pretty stumped because, of course, I was praying, but the peace that Paul talked about in verse 7 was nowhere to be found. I was also stumped because at first glance, I couldn't think of anything to be thankful for in the suffering in Guatemala, and beyond just Guatemala, but in all the evils in the world and all the pains and burdens of the people I loved, how could I be thankful? But the words Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 6 are not a suggestion or a request, but they're an instruction. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So I quieted my mind and I asked God to open the eyes of my heart to see the good, to see Him. Suddenly, I saw God at work so clearly and there was so much to be thankful for. I thanked Him for the missionaries He sent with such a strong heart and passion for the people they served. I thanked Him for the spiritual riches that those people in that community lived with, despite their physical poverty and even because of it. I thanked Him for places like the James Project that provide a home full of faith, hope, and love to kids who otherwise were neglected, abused, abandoned, and hopeless. I thanked Him for the fruit that follows suffering, the growth that follows every storm. And I realized that by not thanking Him, I was unconsciously denying that He was and is at work in all the pain we see in the world. I was assuming that the problems I saw in the world were bigger than God. I was doubting His sovereignty and His promise that He is working all things for the good of those who love Him. I had let myself slip from feeling helpless to hopeless. But we are not without hope because the God of hope is living in all of us. Almost instantly, the week of despair lifted, and the peace of God that truly transcends all understanding filled my heart and mind. An hour before, I could hardly find the energy to eat, but now I was so full of joy again, I remember dancing and singing down the halls. I saw the world in the palm of God's hand again, and I wholeheartedly trusted that He was in control, so there was no need to worry. My whole worldview had shifted. A year after that first trip, I went back to Guatemala for a month, and what had left me feeling broken and hopeless before now inspired faith and love in me. I saw joy in the eyes of each child and family we served because they were so transformed and secure in the love of Christ. I saw the hope of eternity of heaven in their hearts. I saw the peace of the knowledge that they were in the loving arms of the Father. I saw faith and trust that God would provide them their daily needs. I saw something they had that a lot of people in North America are missing. They had no material wealth to rely on, but they knew that they had Jesus, and they learned that that was truly enough. In reality, it was only two words that have so drastically changed my life and my faith. With thanksgiving. Intentionally seeking the good and the reasons to thank God in every situation helps keep God's sovereignty at the forefront of my mind. It keeps my head above the stormy waves of life and my eyes fixed on Jesus. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding guards my heart and my mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam, for sharing with us how God changed your life. God is at work. The verse that Pastor Sam chose speaks about the profound action of prayer. And this passage was written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this passage while he was actually in jail. Imagine the anxiety and the uncertainty of being locked up in jail. There would be a guard next to his cell, and that guard would be armed and charged with making sure Paul did not leave or escape. He was not free to come and go. He's locked up. And it's in this state of duress that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. And he wrote it to some specific people. And he says in Philippians 1 verse 1, this letter is written to all the saints in Christ Jesus. And our verse says in chapter 4 verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. The very words of God. How is it possible for us humans to communicate with an all-powerful, holy, eternal, sovereign God? How does that even work? Who can pray? And what can be prayed about? And what do we need to pray in what manner? One of my favorite authors on the idea and concept of prayer is Alvin Vandergrind. And he describes prayer as a relational conversation with God. A relational conversation with God. And is it even possible to have a relational conversation with an almighty God? Is it even realistic? Friends, all through Scripture and spoken by believers throughout time, prayer is possible, but only through Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 7, these two words, in Christ. This verse is written to those who have trusted Jesus Christ with their whole lives and walk with him. They're known as Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you can spin prayer wheels at elevation. You can kneel down on prayer carpets in certain directions multiple times through the day. You can have prayer beads. You can do prayer chants. But what this text is talking about is a particular type of prayer. It's a certain approach to prayer. It's different than those others. This is the prayer of the Bible. It's Christ-centered prayer. As Paul says, in Christ. John says in the Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, Jesus is speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus has made it possible for us humans to come into the presence of Almighty God and speak to him in a relational way. Our relationship with God the Father was so hopelessly broken, so hopelessly fragmented, and Jesus came and through the cross has provided a way for it to be repaired. Now relationship between us and God is now restored. We can now come to the Father in prayer. We can come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize, admit, that I am separated from God because of my sin. But I need and I believe that Jesus died for me to remove that sin forever. I ask you to remove my sin forever and bring me into restored relationship with the Father. And I pray in faith in Jesus' name, amen. How is prayer even possible? It's only through Jesus Christ that we can approach our Father in heaven. He invites us. He wants us to. And the question for us this morning is, will we answer his invitation? Will you trust Jesus and come to our Father in prayer in this way? And when you do, you can talk to God the Father as if you are speaking as his friend. You can confide in him. You can, as it says in verse 7, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When you're in Christ, you can speak to the Father openly and without reservation. It's beautiful. He invites you to. Now, I have a friend, his name's Jeff. We don't see each other often. We live in different cities. But when we're in the same space, when we do see each other, we immediately connect at a deep and profound level. We've known each other for 20 years. We share the things that we're stoked and excited about. We share the things that we're struggling through. We share the things that worry us or that confuse us. It's a beautiful and profound relationship. It's life-giving for me when I'm with him. It's a friendship that's based on trust and loyalty, acceptance and love. And we can have a relationship with God the Father like that. We can pray to him in a similar way that we confide in a close friend. Now, there's some people you can really just talk about sports or the weather or this or that or how the job's going and this and that. But there are others you can speak about in issues of life that really matter. When we talk to God about our failures, and we come to him and speak about our temptations, we bring our anxiety, our difficulties. We can express to God the sin we notice in our life, the darkness we see in our own souls. You know, a conversation with God can, you know, just throughout the day can sound a little bit like this. Oh, Lord, I did that again. Oh, I dishonored you. I had bad thoughts then. Or, you know, I was offended in that relationship and that's all my issue. Help me to grow through this. Or, boy, that old temptation was there again. I gave in. I wish I didn't say that, but I did. Or I wish I would have said that more lovingly or caring, but I didn't. Or you could say, you know, oh, man, I'm going into this thing and I'm really uncertain right now. I'm afraid and I got a lot of nerves and I don't know what to do. Please help me. We can express this personal side of our experience and interaction with life with the Father, both our failures and our joys and our thanksgivings. We can be free with him and speak to him as honestly as we're able to. And in 1 John 1 verse 9, it says, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, when we develop this personal conversation with God known as prayer, is something that builds over time and you can develop it. It takes time and it takes practice. It takes trust. It takes a sense of honesty. And he invites us to have this level of honesty that's refreshing for you. And he invites it. And when we do bring our brokenness and our failures and our sin and our darkness, he forgives us. There's no fear there. And he invites us, and it says he purifies us. It's part of our growth to speak to him honestly and openly. He will never reject you, no matter what you say or express to him. And it's not like you're going to come to him and say something to God, because God is all-knowing. You're not going to surprise him and, you know, and kind of say, well, I did this, or I was thinking about that. Or he will go, oh, really? Really? I didn't think that. You see, it's not like that at all. God knows, and without hesitation, without reservation, we can express to him things in prayer, everything in prayer. We can do that because of Jesus. You don't have to impress God. You don't have to show him how good you are. You don't have to live up to some false expectation of what you think you should be that would make him happy. God knows your heart. He knows you. And through Jesus Christ, he invites you to speak to him about everything as honestly as you can. And when we are praying to him because of Jesus like this, as a close friend talks to a close friend, it releases anxiety. This is why he says, don't be anxious about anything. Anxiety is counterproductive. It's different than concern or different than empathy. Those can be moved to positive things. But anxiety is when we have clusters of fears and worries, and we mull over it, and it goes round and round about one thing and the next thing. We catch ourselves and we blame ourselves for thinking about that, which leads us to be anxious about more. And then we get ashamed for being in the state, which takes us back to the start. It's like a circle. Round and round and round we go in anxiety. And a way to step off the anxiety cycle is to speak about those concerns to our Heavenly Father. You can speak to Him about all that you're anxious of, all that you're worried of, and just pour it out, present them to Him. And at the end, when you're done, He will embrace you. He will quiet your heart. He will bring you peace. The prophet Zephaniah in chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord your God is with you, the almighty warrior who saves you. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." And through Christ, those words are for you. We can pray to God the Father in a similar way that we can confide in a close friend, and peace from God will come. Prayer is to be through Jesus and as if we're confiding in a close friend, but it also can be a place to bring petitions in the word of the verse. It's time to bring requests. You can bring to the issues that you're worried about, to the concerns in the world. Bring those to God in prayer. He invites you to. This also helps anxiety. You could be troubled about many things in life. You could be troubled with how difficult school is for you, or how stressful your job is, or maybe your kids are difficult. Maybe your spouse feels distant. Maybe your aging parents are worrisome. Maybe you have siblings that are contentious. Maybe your health is tentative. Your finances seem to be going down, down. They're dwindling. Maybe you see only the future as uncertain. See, all of these things can create anxiety as we mull on them. And He's asking us to take these petitions, these concerns, these big things, and bring them to Him in prayer. All of them. And He says He will bring peace. Notice this verse doesn't say you'll get all that you ask for, right? It doesn't say present your requests before God and He will fulfill all your requests. It doesn't say that. It does say present them before God and He will give you peace. He often answers prayers in a way that is different than what we think they should be answered. Think about the writer of this letter, Paul. Boy, he didn't have all his answers, all his prayers answered in the way that he requested them. He was still in jail. I'm sure he prayed that he could get out for good reasons. He probably prayed, "Lord, help me to get out of this jail so I can preach the gospel, so I could plant more churches, so I could do more work for you." But what happened is he was there. He was under guard, under duress. He wrote these words. But we do know that even though Paul didn't get in prayer what he wanted, he did receive what God promised. And that's when Paul prayed, he received peace. So, New Life, let's not be anxious about anything. And we do that by bringing our prayers and our petitions with thanksgiving before God in Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank You that You open up the relationship between us and the Father in such a way that we can confide in Him as a friend. We can bring all our worries and our concerns about ourselves, as Your scripture says, everything. We pray for peace in this time of great uncertainty in our lives and in the world. And we thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, New Life, let me send you off with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. God bless.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
For you. Go in peace. Have a great Sunday.